Okay, good evening, everybody. First of all, excuse me for being late. There was another shiur, another class in Brooklyn, and it went later than we thought. And almost, as you will have questions at the end of this class, they had a lot of questions there, and didn't let me go. So that's first of all. Second of all, you asked a lot about the lecture about the near-death experience. That's tomorrow, and that's in Five Towns. So I left on the table over there cards of my website. Go to the website. There's a place where it says the events. You can get the address, the time, everything. If for whatever reason you can't make it, I left out there CDs that you have the whole lecture on a DVD. It's a two-hour lecture on DVD. If you can, make the come and hear the real thing. It's much better than the DVD. But tonight we're going to talk about two things. Since we're starting late, so we'll try not to do it too long. But I want to talk about two very important things. One of them is Kriyat Shema Lamita, saying the prayer of Kriyat Shema before you go to sleep, why we say it, and why it's so important, and why you might want to make sure you don't miss it. And I'm going to explain in a very detailed way what happens at night, and why you need to be protected, and why we say Kriyat Shema Lamita, and a few more details about that. Another thing I want to talk about tonight is that whether you're aware about it or not, there's a sin, there's certain acts that we do that the reaction, the effect of the act is called karet. Karet means that something gets chopped off. If a person, chas v'shalom, doesn't keep Shabbat, it falls under the category of karet. There are 36 sins in the Torah that if a person do it, in one shot, the whole connection gets cut off. I'm going to explain what it means, even karet, because a lot of people don't understand what karet means. So we're going to talk about karet also and how that's connected to Kriyat Shema Lamita. But it's two very important things, because if you don't understand the severity of certain things that you do, then you're never going to stop doing it, and you never even if you stop doing it, you don't even know how to correct it. And the main problem that most people have in our generation is that they don't keep the laws, that the effect cuts the soul off, the connection. It's called karet. Karet means to chop off. And the thing is that we have 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar that from our soul to God, there's a rope that connects our soul to God. Now, of course, it's a spiritual rope. It's not a physical rope. The same way that a physical rope is built for many strings, then this spiritual rope is built for many little strings, like a rope, a real rope. The spiritual rope is built from 613 fibers, little strings, corresponding to 613 mitzvot that we have in the Torah, all the commandments. If a person keeps the entire Torah, he's 100% observant, he has no problem. All the strings are connected, the rope is very, very strong, he has a perfect connection with God. The problem starts when people start cutting off these little strings. So a person does one sin, he cuts one string. Does another sin, another string, another string, another string. Now if you cut 10 or 20 or 40 out of 613, it's not the end of the world. But what happens when you cut 500, 600? Then the problem is that the rope is very, very flimsy. There's nothing there. And then all the problems start. People have health problems. People have mental problems. People have parnasa problems. They can't find their other half. All the problems that we deal with is a result from one thing, that this rope is damaged. Now, you're very young, but 20 years ago, the connection, how we had to the internet, used to call it dial-up. It used to work on the phone lines. Now you have broadband. Once, 20 years ago, you know how long it would take to send an email? 5 minutes. You would sit, type the email, sit like this. Wait 5 minutes till the email will go. Now, you know, the connection is so wide, you stream videos. They didn't have that 20 years ago. What's the difference? Then the connection was very, very little. So the speed of transferring the data was low. Now the connection is wide, broadband, high-speed internet, then the speed of transferring the data is fast. That's it. Same way in the spiritual level. If my connection to God is wide and clean, then there's no issue. I have no problems. And it doesn't mean my life is perfect. My life will still go up and down because that's part of the plan. But it's a normal thing. If you're going out to a hospital and you see the people are lying down in their beds, you see the monitor going up and down. They're going up, down, up, down. And the ones that the line is flat, they're dead. So life is supposed to be up and down. But the problem is that most people, you know, their entire life is either down or they don't know how to deal with things. The problem starts with karet, that when a person does one act from one of these 36 acts and he cuts the rope in one shot. So we're going to talk about karet a lot. First, I want to go a little bit in a very general way about Kriyat Shema Lamita. We are obligated to pray four prayers a day. And we have the option of praying five prayers a day. Shacharit Mincha Arvit, these are three prayers. Kriyat Shema Lamita, that's a fourth prayer. These all four you must. You have to. It's not an option. And for women, it's at least one. Woman, and if somebody tells you a woman doesn't have to pray, a woman has to pray. A woman has to pray at least once a day. Either Shacharit, either Mincha, either Arvit. A woman is obligated also in Kriyat Shema Lamita. There's no anachot, there's no discounts for women in Kriyat Shema Lamita. So women are obligated already in two. And the fifth prayer that we have as an option is Berkat HaMazon. It's saying benching on the food. So if you do all five, you have five prayers a day. Shacharit Mincha Arvit, Kriyat Shema Lamita, and Berkat HaMazon. Most people, if you give them to eat, you give them a roll, they don't go and wash their hands. They ask you, is this mezonot? Is this mezonot? No, I mustn't. No, not mezonot. No, no, no. I'm in a rush. I don't have time to sit now and say Birkat HaMazon. To sit 2 hours on Facebook, they have time. To sit 2 hours in nonsense, they have time. But to sit 3 minutes to say Baruch Hashem, to say thank you to Hashem for giving him food, then he doesn't have time. If a person will know how important Birkat HaMazon is, what remedies, what powers it has, you would wash your hands three times a day for food. For every little thing you eat, you would wash your hands. So this is not an obligation. It's an extra, it's a bonus. But Kriyat Shema Lamita, many people think it's just an option. It's not an option. First of all, according to the Pshat, according to the Oral Torah, a man has to say twice a day Shema Yisrael. This is a mitzvah from the Torah, the Oraita. He has to say it in Shacharit, he has to say it in Arvit. He has to. A person didn't wake up in the morning and didn't say Kriyat Shema Lamita, he mevatel mitzvah taseh. He didn't do a mitzvah taseh. One sentence, it takes bidyuk 30 seconds. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem, that's it. Did a mitzvah from the Torah. Just like that. A person didn't do it, mevatel mitzvah taseh. He desecrated one mitzvah, a positive mitzvah, cut one of these strings. From one little sentence. Chachamim tiknu that when we say korbanot in the morning, you already say kriyat shema. Shema, if let's say you don't notice and the time for kriyat shema passes, then at least you didn't miss it. A lot of problem, a lot of keilot, a lot of communities, they pray mincha and arvit together, and they pray arvit before the time. But you know, they want to make a minyan, you can pray before the tzete kochavim, before the stars go out. But you know what the problem is? That half the men, they go home, they put pajamas on, that's it, they go watch a movie or whatever, they forget to say Shema again because they didn't have it say Shema at the right time. So Chachamim Tiknu, this is according to the Pshat, they say, okay, we'll say Kriyat Shema Lamita that way that if a man forgot to say Kriyat Shema in Arvit, then he says it later on, he's not going to forget. And I've been to many communities that they pray Mincha and Arvit together, it's before Tzet HaKochavim, it's not in its time, lo bezmana. Then they go on, they forget. When he does Kriyat Shema Lamita, according to the Pshat, no, but you want to say twice the Kriyat Shema. Yeah, you want to say it because Kriyat Shema, Techev, we're going to talk about it, Kriyat Shema is also a tikkun. First of all, it's a mitzvah. Second of all, you're saying psukim from the Torah. But it's also, there's some type of a tikkun in the Shema. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the power of how you correct the damage of karet. And in the Kriyat Shema, you have this option of fixing the karet with Kriyat Shema, with the words. So, Chachamim Tiknu, the sages made it that you say Kriyat Shema Lamita. In case you forgot to say in Arvit Shema, at least you come to before your bed, you're not going to forget. But we're going to talk about tonight more what the Zohar talks about Kriyat Shema, what Kabbalah explains about Kriyat Shema, what the Sod explains, not what the Oral Torah tells us. The Oral Torah tells us you have to say Kriyat Shema in the morning before the time is over. If you didn't say it in the right time, you missed the opportunity. You didn't make the $1 million that day. You went to the job, you punched the ticket, your boss told me you're an hour late. I'm not giving you an hour for this time. Just to say Kriyat Shema Lamid time, this is not a job. If you had to compare it to money, that's $5 billion. In one sentence. Now, there was last week the lottery, how much? 1.5? Nothing. One day, Shema Israel, 5 billion. Shema Israel, 5 billion. You're a billionaire every day. So why do we say Kriyat Shema Lamita? And ladies, you have to pay attention because ladies are not exempt from Kriyat Shema Lamita. They have to say it and they have just as the chiyuv to say Kriyat Shema in the same exact power. In general, we say Kriyat Shema Lamita for three reasons. When you go to sleep, your soul leaves your body. It goes up to Shamayim. It goes up to Shamayim, first of all, to get charged. You go to sleep now, you put your phone in the wall. You want to wake up in the morning, you want the phone to have fully charged battery. Your neshama needs to be charged. That's why, even according to nature, you become tired at the end of the day. Even if you're on vacation, and all day long you're like this, you'll be tired at night. Why? Why are you tired? You didn't do anything all day long. Your soul gets tired, this manifests into the body, and the body becomes tired. So the soul needs to rest, soul needs to get charged, and it wants to get fully charged. The problem with most people, the soul doesn't go to the right place. It goes to a different place. Instead of going to the place where it gets charged, it's going to a place where Malachi Chabala are kicking it all night, playing football with it. And then you sleep for 12 hours, and you wake up in the morning like a shmate, like as if you didn't sleep at all. No, you can't. Yeah, you go to sleep, you sleep for 12 hours, like a rock, you wake up all tired, you can know that your neshama went to the wrong place at night. How come sometimes you wake up in the morning, you sleep for 4 hours, you wake up like a tiger? Why? Your neshama went to the wrong place, it got its charge.
How does it go to the wrong place?
Because if a person does a lot of sins that day, and he doesn't do tshuva that night, we're saying Kriyat Shema Lamita, it goes up, all the Malachi Chabalah that he created are stopping him. He can't even go up.
No, but there are a lot of Rashim nowadays. They sleep fine.
Rashaim?
Yeah.
Rashaim is a totally different thing. Hashem nifra me Rashaim ba'olam hazeh. Hashem pays off the Rashaim in this world. Let's try to keep the question to the end because I want to kind of go zoom through it. Then we'll go into questions because I don't want the shiur to be interrupted too much. Later on, you can ask me whatever you want. We'll cover everything. You're not going to leave here tonight without an answer. So the first thing that the soul does when it goes up to Shamayim at night, it's to get charged. It needs to get charged. The next thing that the soul goes up to Shamayim, it goes to write a diary, like a logbook. I woke up at 7 in the morning. I did Birkot HaShachar. Then I went at breakfast. I did this. I played on Facebook for 2 hours. It writes a diary what it did. So when the soul goes up to Shamayim after 120 years, they tell her, you wrote it. You wrote what you did. The third thing that the soul does when it goes up to Shamayim at night is to testify in another soul's court case. When a person dies, he has a case in Shamayim. Mishpat, he goes to Beit Din for 12 months. If he's a Rasha, 12 months. If he's not a Rasha, 11 months. But see, they call witnesses. The soul goes up to testify. Now what happens when the soul leaves the body? The body is lying on the bed like a corpse. Mamash like a corpse. Now if you go on a vacation, you don't leave your home open. You close your doors, you close your windows, you put the alarm. You do anything you can to protect the house. Because if you're going to leave the house open, you're going to get robbed. You're going to come home, the house is going to be empty. Same thing with your body. You're leaving the world for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. You want the body to be guarded. How do you guard it? You guard it with Kriyat Shema Lamita. Now what does it mean to be guarded? You have to understand that your body is soaked with Kedusha. Just the fact that you are a Jew, without doing anything that day, your body is soaked with holiness. You did one little mitzvah today, one. Your body is radiating Kedusha. Trillions of gigabytes of this holiness. Comes at night, the soul leaves the body, all the chitzonim, all the evil powers, let's call it, all sorts of angels, all sorts of demons, they want to come and grab the body. The Gemara compares it that if you take now a barrel of sand and a barrel of honey, take the barrel of sand, turn it upside down, all the sand comes out, then the barrel is empty. Take the barrel of honey, turn it upside down, it still has a lot of honey on the walls, what's going to come? All the bugs, all the flies, all the these maggots or whatever it is. Why is it going there? Because there there's honey, there's something to lick, to suck. But on the dry barrel, there's nothing there. So a body that is completely empty, no kedusha, nothing goes to it. These angels, they're looking for a holy body to come and to suck the kedusha. Now, if you don't guard your body at night, then all these angels, these demons, however you want to call it, Kabbalah calls it chitzonim. Chitzonim means something that comes from the outside. The inside is the camp of kedusha, of holiness, and outside is the camp of unholiness. And they want to come in like robbers to rob your body, to take this kedusha from the body. The problem is that when you come back in the morning, and if the body was not guarded and all of these guys are in your body, they don't leave. They don't just say, okay, thank you very much for letting us stay tonight. They're in the body. And then all the mental problems start. People get anxieties, fears, phobias, all the nonsense. All these dirty thoughts, everything. The soul gets dressed into garments in order to operate in this world. The soul is too holy to come down here. It cannot function in this world because it's way too holy. It gets dressed into garments. Kind of imagine now you want to cook something in an oven. You want to put your hand into the oven to take the cake out. You just don't put your bare hand like that. You'll get burned on the spot. You put like a glove. And the glove has another layer and a few layers that you're not going to feel the warmth. And you can take it out. So the soul gets dressed into garments in order to operate in this world. And the garments are divided into three categories: thought, speech, and action. And the soul gets dressed in these garments, and that's how it's operating in the world, with your thoughts, with your speech, and with your actions. If you purify yourself, if you make yourself holy, your thoughts are holy, your speech is holy, and your actions is holy. The Baal Shem Tov explains that there are two chambers in Shamayim. One chamber is Hechalot Shel Kedusha, chambers of holiness, and one chamber is Hechalot Shel Tumah, chambers of unholiness, of impurity. Imagine a person sitting like this now in a hospital. He has one IV here, one IV here. Okay? If you put, you know, medicine and minerals and everything, then he gets good thing in his IVs, goes straight to his veins. But imagine you put now poison, then the poison will come into the IV. If you channel yourself to the chambers of purity, then the IV, the spiritual thing that you get is holy. It comes from a holy place. Your thoughts are holy. Your mouth is holy. You don't curse because somebody cuts you on the street. Somebody cuts you in the car. Straight away, start cursing. Why you curse? Well, you don't even know him. Maybe he's in a rush. Maybe he's going to the hospital. Why are you cursing? Excuse my language. You go on the street, you see a beautiful woman, your mind starts thinking. Why? Why you have not holy thoughts? Anything you do, if you channeling yourself to the channel, to the holy, to the chamber of unholiness, your thought, your speech, your action will be unholy. You channel yourself to the chambers of holiness, your thoughts will be holy. Your talk will be holy. Your actions will be holy. Now what happens at night that you leave your body thrown on the bed, coming all these robbers into your body, they don't want to leave the body. It's almost like now you'll have a beautiful house, I don't know where, Beverly Hills, I don't know what they have here, Great Neck. I don't know what, $20 million house. You go on a vacation, you leave all the doors open. The person comes home, there's robbers in the house. Now they don't come and rob the house, you know why? Because they come into the house and they're like, hey, that's a pretty cool house. Why should we take the TVs out of the house? Let's just stay here. No, let's just camp here. And then you come home and you're like, hey, what are you doing here? Sorry, we took over. Now in this world, you call the police, they get him out. But in the spiritual world, they're already in, they tell you, get me out now. Get me out. I'm not going out. And then you have, in a very refined way, all these spirits of impurity, they're in your body. And how does it affect you? A, thought, speech, and action is impure. B, people start getting from that all sorts of mental problems. Mental problem is not, doesn't mean that they're cuckoo. It means that they have fears from things. They see things. They get afraid easily. They worry all the time. They get anxieties. They, all sorts of things are in their mind that making them unstable. And they go to the doctor. The doctor subscribes a pill. Here, take, relax. You're not solving the problem. You're numbing the problem. That's it. Then the people are just walking around this country like zombies. Half this country zombies on all sorts of pills. They don't deal with the problem. So when you go to sleep and you leave the body thrown on the bed, the body is not guarded. So that's why, according to the Sod, we say Kriyat Shema Lamita. First of all, and most important, you guard the body. You surround the body with malachim, with angels. Look at how it says, open the siddur, look at the nosach. Besides all the psukim that we say and all sorts of verses we say, there's one part that we say, Hinei mitato sheli shlomo, shishim giborim saviv, lami giborei Yisrael, kulam achuzei cherem, melumdem lechama ishcharbo lechon pacha balelot. Look at it, all the siddurim, it says the same thing. Doesn't matter, Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, doesn't matter, they all say the same thing. Why? There's a whole story in the Gemara about Shlomo HaMelech, that there was a demon, Ashmedai, and he was teasing him. There's a whole story there. And this demon took control of Shlomo HaMelech's body. And it says that he kicked him 400 parsaot. You know, it's 400 parsaot. One parsa is like 4 miles. He kicked him, they say, to the other side of the world. Do four times. So 1,600 miles he kicked him, this demon. And Shlomo HaMelech walked somehow back to Yerushalayim. He looked like a homeless person. And he was walking in the streets of Yerushalayim saying, Ani ben David, I'm the son of David. Everybody was like, no, another cuckoo. And the demon got dressed in the body of Shlomo HaMelech and he was having a party. And you know where they noticed that something's going wrong? Shlomo HaMelech had a lot of women. But Shlomo HaMelech was a tzaddik. So he only used to go to the women at the right time of the month. When the woman has her cycle, you can't go to her. And they started noticing that he's going in the wrong times. And then they started believing that this bum, this homeless person, they're saying, Ani ben David, that it's Shlomo HaMelech. And they had a whole process. They had to put on the demon in the name of Hashem. There's a whole story. Since then, Shlomo HaMelech used to put 60 guards around his bed. So we put the exact same guards. Shishim giborim mi giborei Yisrael. Gibor is a hero. When you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, you surround your body with guards, with angels. Anything that will come to harm the body at night, that's it. It meets a wall, a firewall of these angels that are guarding the body. Just by that, Ken.
Sorry, this is said 3 times, right?
You say it 3 times. The reason you say it 3 times, one for the nefesh, one for the ruach, one for the neshama. The neshama, the soul has five levels. The highest level is called yechida. Yechida comes from the word Yichud, because it's connected from Hashem. This is what's called Chelek Eloka. It's a piece of Hashem carved off Hashem. This is our piece of our neshama that is part of Hashem. That's called Yechida. Not because it's Yachid, because it's separate, rather because it's Yichud. It's completely united with Hashem. A lower level is called Chaya. Chaya is the Tzelem. The non-Jews, they call it Aura, something that surrounds the body like this light. Tzelem is what surrounds the body. Tzelem is like the mold of our neshama. It does the shape. Betzelem Elokim nivra Adam. This is like a shadow. This is chaya. These two levels of our neshama, we have nothing to do with it. It's such a high level. Tzadikim only can get to that level. We operate in the levels of neshama, ruach and nefesh. The reason why we say 3 times, everything you say 3 times in Kriyat Shema Lamita, one keneged the nefesh, one keneged the ruach, one keneged the neshama. You have to surround all 3 levels of your soul. When we say Kriyat Shema Lamita, we surround the body with guards. That way your body is protected, that when you wake up in the morning, right away, your body is clean and no problems. Nothing touched it at night. Nothing affected it at night. Most of the bad dreams you have at night is because your body is not guarded, because all these demons are coming into your thoughts and they're messing up the frequencies, so the dreams are like all messed up. So, you first of all, you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, you guard your body. The second thing, the reason you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, because Kriyat Shema Lamita is a time that you can do tshuva. Now, it says in the Gemara, "En davar omer difnei tshuva." Nothing has the power to battle tshuva. Now, a lot of people think that you do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, if you will wait to do tshuva for Yom Kippur, How can you do tshuva for 1 year? How can you think of in one day what you did the entire year? You can't even remember. I don't remember what I did 3 weeks ago. How can I remember what I did 7 months ago? How can I do tshuva in one day for the entire year? You can't. You just can't. Yom Kippur is you finish the tshuva of the entire year. And the power of the day allows all these stains from your soul to be removed. A lot of people think that Yom Kippur removes everything. Yom Kippur removes just basic sins. They don't remove any sins of karet and mitah bidei shamayim, death by the heavenly court. And they don't remove any sin between Abdam lechaverob and one person to the other. So Yom Kippur is very, very powerful, but it's not. It doesn't have the power to completely erase everything. So in order to do tshuva the right way, Hashem made times that we do tshuva. So once a year on Yom Kippur, we do tshuva for the entire year. Once a month, we do tshuva on Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Kippur Katan. It's such a powerful time that it's a time that you can do tshuva for the entire month. I have a video online. You should go and look at it because I talk a whole hour, an hour and a half about how you do tshuva and what's the whole concept of Rosh Chodesh. Besides, you know, making a party or whatever, it's mamash, a time that you can completely do tshuva and erase everything from the previous month.
You do tshuva on your own, or is it like a special thing before Rosh Chodesh?
No, you do tshuva with yourself. You can only do tshuva with yourself. But
like, no, you don't say tachanun?
No, the day is so powerful that you don't say tachanun. But if you look at the tefillat musaf, at the words, what you're saying in musaf of Rosh Chodesh, you'll see that it says, Zman kapara lanu natata. It's the time that it's of an atonement. Just the day allows you to do tshuva. Of course, you have to pray, and you have to say halel, and you have to say musaf. You have to do what the halachot tells you. But it's a very auspicious time that you can do tshuva for that month. Now, if you think about it in a normal, just normally, how can you do tshuva in one day for 2 months? I don't remember what I did. Nobody can remember. You can do tshuva one time a year, even one time a month. It's just a time that you really wash off all the problems you did the entire month, and you do tshuva for that month. But another auspicious time is Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat is the time that you do tshuva for the entire week. Now, when we're saying you do tshuva, it's not that you're saying, okay, tshuva. No. Erev Shabbat, a person that really cares about his spiritual status, Erev Shabbat takes an hour, goes to the mikveh, washes himself in hot water, sits down, gets ready for Shabbat, and then he sits 10 minutes before he prays mincha and says, okay, what did I do this week? Oh, you know what, I owe that guy money, you know what, I cursed that guy, this guy I promised something and I didn't do it, here I forgot to pay my debt. You do tshuva, you're saying, okay, and then you go and you apply it. You owe somebody money, you say, okay, Motzei Shabbat, you call the guy, hey, I owe you money. Because if not, you forget. You insulted somebody, okay, you come and approach him, I'm sorry, last yesterday what I said, I didn't mean it. You do tshuva. Tshuva is you have to do something. It's just to sit like this and say, okay, Hashem, forgive me. You have to do an action. But Erev Shabbat is a powerful time to do tshuva. That's why you see that in many, many kehilot, you say, some say it before mincha, some say it after mincha, you say Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is one of the most powerful things in order to get you out of the junk that you're in. And on Erev Shabbat, it's such a powerful time that you can do tshuva for all these 127 hours, because when a person does a sin, on the spot, the judgment, the din is Gehinnom, even if he can be in this world. The judgment, the din right now, person, I now do a sin, the judgment that is hovering over my head is Din Gehinnom, because I didn't do tshuva. I'm considered now, according to the heavenly court, Rasha, wicked person. Now, not Rasha, because I can be the nicest, sweetest person in the world, but the category I'm under is Rasha. I do tshuva right on the spot. I remove that tag off me. So Shir HaShirim is extremely, extremely powerful. If you don't do it Erev Shabbat, I strongly suggest you take your time, you take the 10 minutes and you say Shir HaShirim, and you do it the right way. Don't talk between the verses, don't talk between the prakim, the chapters. And imagine in your mind, excuse me?
Do it anytime.
The best time to do it is Erev Shabbat. I told you, some congregations, they do it before Mincha. They do Shir HaShirim Mincha and then Kabbalat Shabbat. Some do Mincha, then Shir HaShirim. You do according to the Nosach you go to. Excuse me?
During Shabbat?
If you miss it, then do it at any time during Shabbat.
You could do Teshuvah on Shabbat.
Shabbat is the day of tshuva. You know that if a person will keep 100% Shabbat, all the sins from that week get erased.
But 100%, that's very hard. Maybe 90%.
Okay. No, I said 100, not 90. 100% that you don't desecrate the Shabbat in one little thing. Of course it's hard. It's not impossible. Impossible, that's not a term that I accept. And Kazdaval, there's nothing impossible. There's no excuses. Now, to tell you that I'm perfect, I didn't say I'm perfect. But you know, when I started to become religious, I grew up not religious. When I started becoming Shomer Shabbat, I thought I keep Shabbat. Then when I was going slowly through Shulchan Aruch, when I came to the time of learning about Shabbat, it was maybe 3-4 years after I'm keeping Shabbat, and I learned every page, and I'm desecrating Shabbat. So I said, okay, if I want to be in the camp of Hashem, I want to be in the army of Hashem, I want to call myself a Jew, then I have to learn all the halachot. You learn all the halachot. Every week you add 4 or 5 things. Within a couple months, you keep Shabbat entirely. But if a person doesn't keep the entire Shabbat, I'm not saying that it's bad. You have to do as much as you can. But if a person really keeps Shabbat, and not only he keeps Shabbat, he mamash beautifies every little thing in the Shabbat, and takes care of all the little details, Shabbat has the power to limchok et kol avonot. It has the power to really delete all your sins. And especially the severe sins. The sins that, you know, the tshuva doesn't really erase it. That the Gemara says in Masechet Yomah, it says that for sins that mita bidei shamayim and karet, the tshuva and Yom Kippur just puts the sin on hold. And then yesurim emarkim, then the person has to go through suffering. Shabbat is the day of tshuva. You can even see that in the letters of Shabbat, it's the letters of tshuva. If a person really keeps Shabbat, then he's on the right path. The trick is that you all the time you have to la'alot b'kodesh, you have to continue more. So now you were holding here in Shabbat, you learn this week every day one halacha. So next Shabbat you're adding 5-6 more things, and you constantly more. But erev Shabbat is the time for tshuva. It's the most auspicious time to do tshuva. It has power. That's why the ladies, they light the candles. You get the exact moment. Why? Because that's the time where you can tap into it, to the deal. You know how they have here a deal sometimes on Black Friday, White Friday, whatever they call it? They give you 24 hours, grab the coupon. You didn't grab the coupon, back to the original price. Same thing. Shabbat comes, you have the time to grab the coupon and do the tshuva. So Erev Shabbat is one of the most powerful things, a powerful time to do tshuva, and the entire Shabbat you do tshuva. But the most important time to do tshuva is Kriyat Shema L'Amitah. Now Kriyat Shema L'Amitah, you don't go into your bed and you put pajamas and you sit with your teddy bear and you like say Kriyat Shema L'Amitah. You say it with your clothes. It's a prayer. Same way you come to the shul and you say prayer with your clothes on and your shoes and everything. It's the same thing. You say it outside in the living room.
You can't do it if you like if you're not like dressed properly.
Better not to, because if you're standing in front of Hashem.
So let's say, what if you take a shower and then you change it to...
But you can, so as long as your pajamas are not, disrespectful, okay, then fine. But the thing is, it's even if you take a shower, so you
put
take
it
a
back on?
Either you put shoes. As long as your pajamas are not. The thing is, you have to understand, every time you pray, you're standing in front of God. So if now, chas v'shalom, you're going to have to go to court, and you also want to take a shower before you go to court. Well, you're not going to come to the court with your pajamas. You're going to put a nice suit, because you're standing in front of a judge. You want to impress the judge as I'm a normal person. So, so much more so with the master of the universe. So, yes, you can pray with pajamas, but you want to do it the right way. You make sure that you're standing respectful in front of Hashem. If it's the last thing that you can think of, so take the shower, just be with pajamas, make sure that your body parts are covered, that it's not like a very not like short pants or whatever.
Do you say Tachanun on Shabbat also?
Shabbat you don't say Tachanun. The power of Shabbat overpowers the power of Tachanun. Now when you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, this is the time when you do tshuva. Now you sit on your bed, on your couch, whatever, and you take 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes, and you review the day. What did I do today? Let's see what I did today. Did I pray 3 times? I did only 2. Tomorrow, I'll try to do the 3rd.
For
Yisrael Shema. You do a cheshbon nefesh. You have a business, At the end of the day, you open the cashier, you see how much money came in, you make a calculation on the spot. If I made money, I didn't make money. I don't know any business person, any business owner that doesn't care. He looks at the business, how I did today. I had enough money, I didn't make money. So you sit two minutes a day before Kriyat Shema and you make a review in your mind. What did I do? Maybe I have to. Maybe I owe somebody money. Maybe I borrowed some money. I have to pay tomorrow. Maybe I cursed my friend. I said something not nice. I can go the next day and apologize. Because two, 3 days pass, you don't remember. You know, one time I come home late at night. My wife tells me I took $40 from my neighbor. I didn't have cash. I had to pay the cleaning lady. So just know that we owe her $40. So I told her, go right now and pay her the money. And she's like, no, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'll go tomorrow. I told her, no, you go now. You know why? Because tomorrow you're going to forget. You have six kids. You have a lot on your mind. You're going to forget. Now, it's not $5,000. $40. What's $40 between me and my neighbor? Big deal. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to forget. And then she's going to see you in the hall. And she's going to be upset at you because you didn't pay her the $40. And then another day will pass, and another day will pass, and you're going to forget what's $40 between two friends. And she's going to every time look at you. She owes me $40. Why is she paying me back? I can't believe she's not paying me back. And you're going to forget, and you think that you're going to remember to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and in the meantime you have a person that has negative thoughts and feelings against you. Why? Go pay it right now. Finish with it. You're going to forget. You know, 90% of what you do, that if you would be aware of it, you will right away fix it. But you forget. You forget. So you have time at night to do tshuva and correct your day. It says that some chassidim, they used to take a notepad and write what they did, so the next day they can do tshuva. Now, if you do tshuva the right way, imagine chas v'shalom, somebody goes to sleep, doesn't it? Doesn't wake up. Don't you want to go up to Shemayim with tshuva? You can do tshuva in one shot at night. You can do tshuva and that's it. You cleanse yourself. So Kriyat Shema Lamitah is a very powerful time to do tshuva. And if you do Kriyat Shema the right way and you do tshuva that night, you are most likely guaranteed that you'll sleep good and you're going to wake up in the morning more refreshed. Why? Because you already removed all this dirt from you at night. And the third thing that the power of Kriyat Shema is that Kriyat Shema is a tikkun. It's a mamash tikkun. Tikkun is to fix something. Now we do all sorts of problems all day long, and then we need somehow to fix it. And Kriyat Shema Lamita is a powerful time to do tikkun. The Arizal says that this is the tikkun when you say tachanun. You know that every time that you make a sin, a person does a sin, he creates a malach, he creates an angel. The Gemara calls it malach habala. Some sins in one shot, you do 100,000. Some things in a few words, you say a few gossip words, thousands of them. You need to somehow kill them. If you don't kill them, they're out there. They come and annoy you all day long. So Kriyat Shema is the time to do tikkun for everything you did that day and bechlal. Tikkun is to fix. Now, you have to understand one of the most powerful things, and that's one of the main, not one of the main, but a very important thing when we say Kriyat Shema. Now you just pray the Arvit. The first thing that you say when you pray Arvit, what did you say? V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchit v'irba l'ashiv apo v'lo yair kol chamato. Right? The second that the sun goes down and the stars come out, that same moment, that's why many people are very makpid to pray arvit v'idyuk when the stars go out. The second the stars go out, four mashchitim come down to this world. Mashchit is like a destroyer, an angel that comes down to destroy. Four of them come down to the world, and they come to, you know how, you know, you see sometimes in the street this guy walking with Dobermans or with Rottweilers or whatever, imagine he lets them go now, they all go wacko. Exactly that time these angels, they come down to the world, and they're very, very dangerous. And in this pasuk, V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'yashchit, we have four of their names. V'hu rachum yichaper avon, avon is the first one, that's his name. V'lo yashchit, shachat is the second one. V'irba l'ashiv apo, af is the third one. V'lo yair kol chamato, chamato is the last one. His chamato is the most craziest one. Chemai, he's called. If you see, if you remember in Parashat Pinchas, when Pinchas stabbed The man and the woman, remember the story? Put them on the sword.
He was jealous.
Excuse me?
He was jealous.
He was doing Kiddush Hashem, because these two...
Jealous of Hashem.
Yeah, he was doing... These two were making the sin, and he... Nobody stood up. He went and he stabbed them both on his sword. It says, it's a time... Pinchas heshivet chamati me'alai. Chamati, the anger, this malach, this mashchid that came down to the world made this whole mess, and Pinchas was able to reverse it. Chamato, the angel Chema, he's the most craziest one. When you say v'ruchu michaper avon lashid yibal hashiva po, you're already acknowledging the fact that okay, I have four of these mashchitim that came down to the world. They don't care who you are, what you did. You have one stain, one bad thing that you did that day. You're already on the target. Now, how do you overpower them? How do you annul them? How do you mevatel them with kriyat shma lamita, with kriyat shma lamita, and with kriyat shma ovarvit?
They're
called mashchitim. Mashchit is something that comes to destroy. If you remember in the story in the Torah of Sdom, when Hashem burned the entire city, so these mashchitim, they come down to the world. Mashchit is a destroyer, is something that comes to destroy.
What do they do?
Like, what do they do? No, these ones, they come to make havoc in the world, come to make problems. Anything, any problem, anything that can happen, chas v'shalom, all the bad things that can happen, chas v'shalom, you have to stop them. It's almost like, you know, to kind of explain it in our terminology, like you see like a gang of these, I don't know, whatever, like a gang that's going on the street and they're making problems, they're pushing you, they're pushing everybody, they're starting fights, and you know, nobody wants to mess with them. The first one who just talks, they beat him up. They're just coming down to make a problem. Now, how do you control them? You have to say Shema Israel. Now, you have to see something very, very interesting. If you take their names, Keneged, as opposed to each one of these malachim, there's one tzaddik in the history that overpowers them. And these four of these tzaddikim were the ones that were thrown into the fire. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire, and he was able to cancel the fire. He overpowered the fire. He didn't get burnt. When Nimrod threw him into the fire, remember the story in the Torah? That was the first one, Avraham Avinu. The other three is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are three tzaddikim that they threw them into the fire. They didn't get burnt. That not only they didn't get burnt, nothing happened to them. They had the power to overpower the fire. Keneged, as in the same level of one of these tzaddikim, we have four korbanot, four sacrifices. There's many more korbanot, but there's four particular ones that are keneged each one, and they all have the same letter of the, you know, the each malach. If you look, for example, look at the malach Af. So Avraham, that same Aleph. Af is starts with Aleph. Avraham starts with Aleph. And then we have four korbanot. We have korban ola, korban chatat, korban asham, and korban mincha. The hint here is that each one has the same letter. Avraham, for example, the mashchit, af, is keneged the tzaddik Avraham, and keneged the korban asham. If you look at the letters, you see that it's exactly the same letters. In front of each one of these mashchitim, there's one tzaddik and one korban. Now another thing is that if you're looking at the sentence of the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if you look at the beginning of the pasuk is Shema and the end of the pasuk is Echad. If you now taking the words Shema and Echad, now cut the letters. So Shema, you have the Shin, then you have the Mem, then you have the Ein. Then in Echad you have Aleph, Chet, and Daled. Each one of these letters correspond to one of these mashchitim. So in the Shema, you take the Shin, you move the Shin aside, right? Now you have Mem, that's Keneged Mishael, Keneged, no, anybody remember? Mincha, the sacrifice of Mincha, right? And the Mashchit that is called Shachat. Then you have Ein, of the Shema, right? That's Keneged. Let's see if you have good memory. Which Sadiq? Azariah. Right? And which Korban? Ola. But which Mashchit? Avon. Okay? So we have Shema. We put the Shin aside. So the Mem and the Ayin go Keneged two of the Mashchitim. You already took care of two. Then in Echad, you have Aleph, Chet, Dalet. Aleph is Keneged which Korban? Asham. Which Tzadik? Avraham. And which Mashchit? Af. And then you have the Chet. Chet Keneged Chananiah. Keneged the Korban Chatat. And for the Mashchit, Chema. So what are we left with? We're left with the Shin and the Dalet. So when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have the power to annul those four mashchitim. And then you're left with the Shin and the Dalet. When you say Kriyat Shema and Shema Yisrael, you have not only the power to completely annul these four mashchitim, but you also have the power to hold the Shin Dalet. Shin Dalet is the Shet. So with one verse, just with your words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, not only that you can overpower these four mashritim, you have the power to control the shed, the Shin Dalet. Shin Dalet is a demon. But the thing is that the way Hashem created the world, it says, Vezelu matzeh bara Elokim. Hashem created, you know, the holy part. He also created the unholy part. Hashem had to make it balance. Why He did it, we're not going to understand. But Hashem created what's called the Ulu Matzeh. This is opposing this one. Everything in the Kedusha has something, the Leumatze, that on the other side of the unholiness. Mm-hmm. Look, for example, at Moshe Rabbeinu. The Leumatze, the opposing side of Leumatze, was Bil'am. Bil'am was a great prophet. If he would channel his acts to Kedusha, they say he would be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But he was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody has the Leumatze, something that is the same level. So even in the names of Hashem, if you damage one of the names of Hashem, you take that name and you give it to the other side. So we know that Hashem has many different names. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elohim. One of the names is Shin Dalet Yud. When a person, for example, desecrates the Brit, then he damages the Yud of Hashem from Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then he gives the Shin Dalet the power. He gives that power into the Shin Dalet. That's why we say that on our circumcision, when a person guards his brit, he has the name of Hashem there, Shin Dalet Yud. A person bechalel the brit, desecrates it, he takes the yud of Hashem, gives it away, and then you have the control, the Shin Dalet controls there. That's where you see where Kriyat Shema has such a powerful thing. First of all, you literally control these four mashchitim; they don't control you, just by saying you're praying of it. You pray of it. That's it.
So should you have this in mind when you're
saying? Yeah. When you say, you have in mind that right now these four goons came down to the world, and with your words, you're overpowering them. Now just imagine it as something dark, and your words are lighting up. So the light always overpowers darkness. Take now this room, turn all the lights off. Will be complete darkness. Turn one little light, that's it, the light. One. A little bit of light pushes a lot of darkness. So this shadim, it comes down darkness to the world. How do you see the darkness come down? Look at nature. The sun goes down, the light diminishes. What comes? Darkness. This doesn't happen because the sun went down and this is how the world is going on. This happens because in the spiritual level, the darkness is overpowering. It's becoming stronger. That's why right away when the sun goes down, we pray Mincha. Then when Tzedek Kochavim, right away, we say Arvit. Why? You have to balance it. You have to balance it with light. Now the thing is that till about midnight, not midnight 12, Chatzot is around 1 a.m., the darkness is just going stronger, 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 stronger. From around 1 a.m., which is Chatzot Alayla, the light, it starts becoming softer, 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 and then slowly, slowly becomes lighter. So in this time, you have about 5 hours that the darkness comes down to the world. That's why we pray Arvit at the time, because with the Shema, you actually control these mashchitim. And when you say before you go to sleep, Kriyat Shema Lamita, you control it in such a way that when you're sleeping, they don't affect you. Because if you don't do the Kriyat Shema Lamita, they actually will affect you while you're sleeping. So right there you see the power of Shema, just the protection that it does.